So, welcome to a new episode of the Social Marketing Nerds podcast. And today, this is a special version, first of all, because it's in English, and we'll discuss a topic that we have had at AdsCamp, our conference on social advertising. And with us today is Jan Willem, who was a speaker at AdsCamp. Welcome, Jan Willem.
Good morning. Welcome. Yeah, great to be here and talk to you again.
Great to have you. Yeah, great to have you here. So on AdsCamp, you were explaining a lot of stuff about LinkedIn advertising. And for a lot of marketers, as far as from my experience, it's some people tried things on LinkedIn, mostly usually organic because you have more impact than on Facebook, but not so many people really trying things on the advertising part because it's people say, well, it's very expensive and so on. We'll discuss this in a minute, but you are an expert on LinkedIn. You're training teams, you're running campaigns on high scale, and you're speaking all over the globe and spreading knowledge on LinkedIn advertising. So could you just tell us why do you think this is the perfect platform for B2B marketing?
Well, I think it is the perfect platform for B2B marketing because all B2B markets are represented on LinkedIn and not that much on Facebook from a business perspective. So I think this is the ideal platform to reach B2B customers. When you look at penetration on how many people use LinkedIn, in the Netherlands, we have around 80% of the working population having an account on LinkedIn. So we can reach almost everyone within businesses. So, yeah, of course, it's much more expensive than Facebook, but the results are also, yeah, more valuable.
Yeah, it is. Well, in the end, it's really just the question of calculation, whether the results are worth it or not. And sure. And so if you're obviously it's not worth it if you're just selling, I don't know, pens.
Yeah. But, if you're
selling a software solution.
Yeah, it's a software solution or a printing solution. Yeah, solutions that are have more money involved and also more decision makers. So, yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah. From right now, the situation we are in, I think, or at least I'm confronted with a lot of, well, blog articles where it said, well, we don't have any trade fairs right now, so how to get to your B2B leads, just work on LinkedIn ads. And well, a lot of companies do, and a lot of them still fail in the way that they either don't get any leads, they don't get qualified leads, they don't, or the leads are really expensive as far, and then they say, well, it doesn't work on the platform. Yeah. That's at least some experience we have on that. And then you look at the campaigns and say, well, this couldn't work right from the start usually.
True.
And so this is why I think we should make discuss a few things about how you should set up your, if you're trying to get in LinkedIn leads, so how you should try to set up your account or your campaigns, and some stuff about testing, obviously. And I remember you talked about this, especially at AdsCamp, about measurement, so how to measure the success of what you're actually doing in this. So when we just start on it, so first question then would be, okay, we are going to make a campaign to create leads for a B2B business. Would it, and then the first question is always how to target people. And bonus question, what should be the size of the actual audience that we are targeting? So how would you start on it?
Well, we always have one question before that. And that's how much do you value a good lead? Because we need to know what budgets we are working with. And if a company says, well, a lead is worth $20 or 20 euros, then it's not worth all the effort. So it needs to be more a substantial higher value for a lead, so that whenever you get leads, they're worth the money. We always start with a good audience targeting. We create audiences for our clients like a sniper. We want to know exactly who we're talking to, who we want to reach, who are most likely to fill out any forms or download any white papers. So we need to know really sure who the target audience is. And normally we ask our clients, give us some profiles of your current clients, and we will examine them and we will analyze properties of those people, and then we use that to create audiences. And the smaller the audience, the better the results.
Okay, this is quite an interesting approach. What would be the size of an audience that you would try? I know it's quite hard to make a general answer on this, but would you say, okay, is there something like a minimal size of an audience or maximum size when you would segment more?
We want to have a minimum size of 1,000 people for mini campaigns, and for longer campaigns we say a minimum of 10,000 people. And a maximum, that should be not that much higher, because you need to handle all those leads. It all depends, of course, on the company and which area you're targeting in. But if it's a specific niche product, your audience cannot be higher for the Netherlands, for instance, 20,000 or 30,000 people. And in Germany, we have some campaigns with, we just started one with 73,000 people. That's a nice audience. Yeah.
And would you then say within that audience, right? We usually have this problem to explain people that on B2B, it's not just one person, usually, except for in small companies, deciding on whether to buy a product or not. So we're talking about buying centers. So do you differentiate
in units? But mainly we focus on the key decision maker or the initiator. For instance, we're now running a campaign for some industrial magnets. And most of the time that's initiated by the research and development engineers and the innovation managers. So those are our first focus that we want to target on first, because they are the one that initiates the needs within the company. So we start with them, the key decision influencers, if you want to call it like that. I don't have a nice English for it. But they are the initiators. And that are the people that we're looking for with this campaign. So, it depends on every campaign, of course. But if we start targeting with the chief financial officer from the start, he doesn't know what the product is about. So specifically with technical products, you should not bother the financial people or the purchase manager, or there should be the technical purchase manager. So it all depends on, the proposition that you want to advertise with. So there's no general rule on that one. It all depends on the campaign that we have to run.
Yeah, but the first one would be then, as I understand, get on the decision makers, but get on those who are an expert on the topic and not just in the administration. So which is somehow one thing we quite often see in the audience is that everybody wants to include the CEO in the campaign because he decides in the end. But usually this makes it quite expensive because everybody is aiming at the CEO, and just excluding him from the audience usually, or in a lot of cases, just reduces the costs of the campaign from our experience.
And it increases the CTR because the CEOs will not click on it.
No, they won't. Would you then, do you usually go just with one audience, or would you test different audiences for different sizes against each other? Or do you just say, okay, I got it right from the start and just optimize within that audience?
Yeah, the last one. We try to do a lot of research before we start with an audience. So we want to create a real ideal audience, and we discuss it with our clients. So this should, this is how this should look like. And we also use Sales Navigator. That's another tool from LinkedIn, where we can give faces to the same audience. So we can use the same criteria to identify that audience and show that to our clients. These are the people that we're targeting to. So that makes it more discussable, and to see if this is the right audience. And if one, if needed, we can add more criteria to the audience, or leave out some of the criteria. But we want to give a face to the audience before we start the campaign. And that's why we use Sales Navigator. And that makes it better to start with the right audience from the start. Yeah, immediately from the start. And of course, when the campaign runs and you get no results, or the results are below your expectations, of course you have to alter the audience. But in general, we start with a good, well thought through audience.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so
then I would say that's the best way, but that's the way we do it, and we like that way.
Yeah, that's. As long as it works, it's always a good way, right?
Yeah.
So it's what we see, just to discuss it, is usually that we're trying to we usually assume that there's not just one audience, but more audiences, because from the point of how we build the message, it might be a different value proposition for different companies. For example, if we have we are selling a software solution, and what a small company would expect from this, or would be important from that to expect from that product, might be completely different from what a bigger company expects. For the bigger company might expect some more quality insurance within that product, or support level, and the smaller one probably might be more about the pricing of the same product. So therefore, we would probably start with different audiences on a campaign.
Yeah, we consider them different campaigns. So I can totally agree with you. There's a big difference if you target on small, medium companies, or the enterprise companies. Then you have different messages for different audiences. But we create different campaigns for them.
Yeah, technically it's different campaigns, absolutely.
Yeah.
Just to to have this full view, we would build different campaigns to segment the audience in a way, and to get them out different messages. So we would probably do it all the same. Okay, do you work on LinkedIn right now with a funnel concept, or would you just say, okay, I got the audience, we want lead, we go with lead ads, or probably more, as you described, with traffic ads, and convert them on a good landing page, right?
On a good
And would you just start with a cold audience on that, or would you do anything before that to get in the leads?
Well, we use different process. The one that you described, that we have this audience, we create some visuals and ads, and we send them to a good landing page. That's number one. But we also use the lead gen forms from LinkedIn. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah, sure.
We use the pre-filled LinkedIn information. But then you need to have different ads because that works fine with video ads, for instance, because normally we say the role of the ad is to trigger people or interest people and trigger them so they go to the landing page, and on the landing page you inform them and you convince them, and then they fill out their data. That's a basic flow. But when you use the lead gen forms, you need to convince them already within your ad. So it's a different approach with the ad, different materials, different text, and preferably a good video. So but we use them side by side for different campaigns to see what scores best. And it all depends on the product or the service that we are offering. And sometimes we have better results with the lead gen forms, and then we skip the landing page campaigns. And yeah, sometimes it's the other way around, but we test them both.
Yeah, that I think that this is the most important thing on that. Really, there are these two ways to really get the data.
Yeah,
and that it's worth testing it from a general perspective. We usually assume that people are more down in the funnel. We get cheaper results with the lead ads because we don't need to convince them that much. And if they're not aware of what we're actually doing, then we have more opportunity by directing them to a landing page and then giving them more reasons to convert on that.
Yeah.
So really depends a little bit on the position in the funnel, but really it's always worth trying to get it. Or if you're technically, and you know that from, I'm pretty sure from some clients, if you're not able to create a good landing page, mm-hmm. which is mobile friendly, which is fast, which is built in an efficient way or created in an efficient way, then it won't work. Then it's usually better to go with a lead ad. So I've seen this sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. But what we create landing pages for our clients, and we use several landing page tools like Unbounce and Instapages, but we skip them all. Now we have our own platform using WordPress with Elementor, and it works perfectly smooth. So if the client doesn't have good landing pages, we offer it to them to create them for them, so we can optimize them. And then we have because OCR and are running, so we can measure everything on the landing pages.
Yeah, because this, one can only emphasize this, if you want to get leads out of LinkedIn, the audience is there, but it's not, if you're not just relying on the lead ads, then it's really important that you get a perfect landing page, otherwise the whole campaign will fail.
Yeah. And we have seen that where people say, no, direct them directly to our website. And then the people went to the website and then they clicked on that page and the other page and then they were lost. So we want to direct them to a clear landing page with only one purpose, informing them and gathering the data. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And then the next question, after everybody's asking about the targeting, and even before that, nobody's asking, but obviously something we indirectly talked already about it, the real objective of the campaigns, and LinkedIn's offering some objective that you can choose from. So we should at least cover this. Mm-hmm. You would go with?
Website visits.
Website visits and the lead ads, of course.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
Yeah. So you wouldn't go with just to make sure you wouldn't. First of all, not go with all the branding stuff. So just rolling out video, and you wouldn't even go. And this is one question that usually marketers who are working on Facebook a lot are asking. LinkedIn offers to go directly on conversion.
Yeah.
From my perspective, I haven't seen it working.
No.
I haven't seen it working.
It work, is because the LinkedIn inside tech, let's say the Facebook pixel of LinkedIn, isn't that working? It's not working well. So it's not picked up all the time. Not even if people accept all cookies, sometimes it doesn't work. So LinkedIn cannot measure the conversion. So,
it is a problem, definitely. So you would use these, you can define the conversion URL base, for example, and say, okay, if people come to this thank you page, it is a conversion. Thank you. They just registered for your webinar or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and then you rely on the data you get from LinkedIn, and you're a little bit surprised probably that conversions appear very late, that it's not that many. And then you probably do something you should have done right from the start, connected it with your excellent CRM, and then it's getting really complicated because then you see different numbers in the CRM of conversions that are attributed to LinkedIn. Yeah. And it's really the first platform I've ever seen who's more humble and or modest in what it's saying. And so that we've seen a lot of cases where LinkedIn itself attributed less conversions to its own efforts than the CRM would attribute to it. So it's whether it's right or not, it's no data that they would. Yeah, it's really disappointing on that. Yeah. I would always define these conversions and track them at least to get an idea. Mm-hmm. And to add this, you can define the attribution window that is used for it. So it doesn't cost you anything. So it is sometimes quite interesting data if you define one conversion with a smaller window and one with a bigger window, just to see in what window people really convert if you have no other way of measuring it.
Yeah.
So, but to rely on this on conversion campaigns, at least from our experience in markets that are not completely huge. So if we're in Europe, we are always dealing with smaller markets, well, sure. I agree. And from that experience, I wouldn't rely on these conversion campaigns.
Oh, we totally agree. We rely on Google Analytics. We rely on the forms filled out and the data that we process to the CRM system. And that's the only thing we have. That's in our control. So we want to rely on that one. But we do the same with lead gen forms, by the way. We can capture that data as well and send it to the CRM system. So user can both. But that's the real conversion for us. That's the conversion that we want to know.
Yeah, you coming. We talk about measurement in a second because it is so important. Before that, you made some points on how to do your bidding on at AdScam. Some points about how to do your bidding on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
and because LinkedIn offers. Always three options, something like an automated bid, like, if you say, hello, LinkedIn, I totally trust you, just spend my money the best way you know how to do it.
Yeah.
And then you have the classic options of doing like an enhanced CPC bid or an optimized CPC bid and CPM bid. And you have a very clear message on this, I think.
Yeah, we always click the enhanced CPC, and once we change it, it becomes then it becomes the maximum CPC bid, and that's the one that we always work with. The reason is you're not, the chances are high that you're not bidding against someone else on the same audience, and you're not fighting for a position. Yeah. So if LinkedIn, if you choose the, let me say, it's called the targeted enhanced CPC, LinkedIn will give you a suggestion, and that's only in their own benefit.
Yeah.
We tested it with campaigns where we left the amount just like LinkedIn proposed, and the other one where we took 50% of the price. And they have the same results, but lower costs. So my advice is always click enhanced CPC, enter €1, say to LinkedIn, no, I want to pay €1, and LinkedIn will tell you what it really needs. And for Germany, those costs are almost twice the cost of in the Netherlands, by the way. With same audiences. But when I go to Germany, I pay €3.50 for a click, and in the Netherlands, I pay €1.69 for a click. So there are big differences. But always take the lowest bid, because LinkedIn only gets paid by clicks. So LinkedIn will do their best to get the daily budget to reach it. So you will have more value for the money. And
so this is really
try it. Really try it. Normally we save customers around 70% on their click price.
We would totally agree that from our experience, we would go first step. We would just analyze what's the minimum bit that is possible, as you just described. So just don't go with a recommendation of LinkedIn, but just have a look at what's really the lowest price that is acceptable, depending a little bit on the audience that you're targeting. From just to add it, I would just like to discuss it. We would at sometimes you might be ending up with something like €3 something.
Yeah.
And it might very well be depending on what you're. So it's a question of whether it's worth it. So it's really, if it's a click, it's not a lead. So if you have no idea what the conversion rate might be, you don't have any idea of whether it's worth it or not. Or if it's just from our experience, if you're trying to promote in the upper funnel blog articles or something, you could just say, well, €3 something might be too much, might even be too much for this objective that what I have in mind. So just getting people reading very valuable content.
In that case, I would not choose website visits. I would choose engagement.
Yeah, that would be one option. One other option, just wanted to discuss it, is we usually then check the CPM. Yeah. So the CPM might be very low. Mm-hmm. So, and then it really depends on the CTR. So we got down this actual CPC without bidding on CPC to something like €1. By changing to CPM, although this is not a long-term solution because prices will rise on that. But it only works if you have a very good ad with a high CTR and targeting the right audience. Otherwise, it won't work. But this might be is a way to get down the costs even lower on that. In some cases, not all cases. Just if you say, well, €3 something is too much for me. I need to get the prices down even more, then this might be worth a try.
Yeah, well, in that case, we also still suggest the engagement. And most of the times when we start campaigns for clients, we run an engagement campaign next to a CPC campaign.
Okay.
While the cost for an engagement campaign can be one-third of per click, but you pay for likes and for comments, you pay for everything. But if it's has enough traffic to the website, then sometimes it's much more interesting to use the engagement because you will get a lot of organic views as well. So there are pros and cons for both.
Yeah, definitely. And then it's always the question right now, we're talking about CTR now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any benchmarks in mind where you say, well, this ad is still acceptable with this CTR? I would scale it. I would need to optimize it. I'll kill it.
Well, it's not only about the CTR of the ad. It's also about the conversion on the landing page based on that.
On
that ad. So we take that into consideration. We want to know with every lead which ad it comes from. So not only which campaign, but which ad. That detail. That's the detail we need. And sometimes, we had one campaign with a CTR of 46%. That happened only once. And when I showed it to LinkedIn, they had never seen that before, but that was the right audience, the right message. And, well, that was a tremendous success. But normally we work with CTRs between 2 and 5%.
Well, that is still quite high
compared to other that's part of the targeting. That's really part of your audience and the right message. But that's our goal, of 2%.
Okay, if it's below that, you would say, well, obviously we have either a problem with the message or we need to work on the targeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then, so let's say leads coming in. So we just started the campaigns, leads coming in, and then we are learning, obviously. And to learn, we need to measure. So, we already said, well, it's not that we should completely rely on the data that LinkedIn gives us. So how would you do your measurement?
Well, of course, we use the UTM codes. You know that. And we use Google Analytics. But when we create landing pages with our contact forms, we also include of course, the UTM codes with every form filled out, and we put it directly into a data sheet from Google Sheets, including all parameters. So we know, okay, this lead comes from that ad. Just basic.
That's and the then basic. You decide.
Yeah, and then we can use in our dashboard, we can see, okay, this ad produced that much leads, or we can even track the value of the lead within the CRM system. So if people use HubSpot or SuperOffice or Pipedrive or Salesforce even, we put the lead into the CRM system. We get the ID back from that lead and the ID from the deal. So as soon as the deal changes in the CRM system, we see it in the dashboard. So we know this ad closed those deals. So that's, in my opinion, the best way to measure the success of a campaign.
Yeah, I like what I especially like about it.
Yeah?
What I especially like about it is one problem with all platforms, whether it's be Facebook or LinkedIn, that it's the own measurement, the attribution ends at a certain time, and in B2B you usually have very long life cycles. So you need to make sure that you're still able to measure the source of the success and whether one campaign was successful or not, and that might very well be for half a year or even longer in some way.
True.
And this is really why it's so important that you, first of all, that it's your own data, and then that it's consistent and that you can keep it for a long time, so that you're really probably not within the running time of a campaign, but even after are able to see, okay, after all, this campaign produced half a year after it ended, something like this, and this is then the final way of evaluating the actual impact of a campaign.
True. So, not for the short term campaigns. This is specifically for the long term campaigns, and for the larger processes where it takes time before people say yes to the deal. Yeah.
Yes, especially if you're just warming them up in a way, or your campaign is really getting them to download something, a white paper, or to build up, or to take part in a webinar. Whatever, and then it really might take months till they really decide on it, or even it might even be that they are not in the same position in the company when it comes to decision. So really just make sure that you measure the campaigns right and keep the data as long as possible on that.
This all started with our company. I love data. Since I graduated with my informatics study in 1992, I love data. That's my thing. So whenever we had new clients for LinkedIn training or for campaigns, I always want to know, where do they come from? Where did it start? So based on that need, we created those systems that we can check, okay, they first saw my ad, then they registered for the webinar, then they followed. They didn't follow the webinar, but when we sent a reminder that there was a new webinar, they subscribed, and then we can see all steps where people come from, and that's what I like to see. And we used it ourselves first, and then I showed it to some of my clients, and they all wanted it, because that's the way they want to know where the leads come from, and they want to know where the big clients they finally get. Where did it all start? Where did it originate? So, that's what we like to develop for our clients. So that the complete process is there. It started with an ad. They took the webinar, and then they downloaded the white paper, and then they asked for a one-on-one conversation, and then you made a proposal. And 3 months later, suddenly they call you. Okay, let's do it. Yeah, that's the thing that we want to see.
Totally. Great. Yeah. Let's
I'm really fascinated about this one. Really. This is really my gameplay. I really love this part.
Yeah, it's I think it's the main challenge probably in B2B business right now, marketing. As as much as marketing is going in the sales direction, so having a sales objective, really, after all, the whole question of measurement and attribution is getting bigger, and we see that with a lot of companies who have really problems, first of all, just tracking down what's happening, and then getting even more complicated, getting the attribution right, if they are doing marketing on different channel, what's worth it. And this is really something I think in the next couple of years, companies will need help on that.
Yeah.
So if it's not just for the technical aspect of running campaigns, there are two things they will definitely, a lot of companies need to improve, which is getting the messages right so that they're not product driven, but customer driven, and getting the measurement right to really know what's happening.
Yeah. True.
Looking into the nearer future, so we already discussed in advance a little bit about what's happening on LinkedIn or in LinkedIn advertising right now and what they're developing. And I'm really quite happy that LinkedIn is, after a lot of years, in the last 2 years, really speeding up in getting out new things.
Yeah.
And there are some things that they announced, some things that are already there, some things that are already there, at least in for some clients. And I think there are at least two features that a lot of people have been waiting for and are quite interesting in. One is this topic of a conversation ad.
Yeah.
I think we probably need, Jan Willem, I think we need to explain what it is, how it could be used.
Yeah, the conversation ad is the first attempt of LinkedIn doing some marketing automation, in my opinion. It's still in beta, but the key element is that you send a message to someone. It's a message ad, just like the sponsored email, with a question. And then people get two or three options to answer, and based on their answer, you will ask another question. So what you're actually doing, you're starting an automated flow within LinkedIn messaging. And that's quite tricky because you need to work out in advance and really think about how will people respond to this question? What are the real options they want to choose from? Because if they have answers that are not one of the options, then your whole campaign is ruined. So you need to work it out, maybe do some role playing as well with your salespeople and potential clients. How would this conversation work? And then you need to build that conversation within a campaign. And I think it's really fantastic, but it's a different approach than simply putting a visual and a text on LinkedIn. So it's really about conversations, and conversations are not that predictable all the time. So you need to really work out and try it and optimize it as soon as you start and see, hey, people don't use this answer. Maybe we should skip it or put in another answer. And really measure the results closely.
Yeah, I think basically it's kind of a very simple chatbot.
Yeah,
you can put in several buttons and so on, but it's much more work creating it in the way you would work on like a automation with mail. So really predict what would be the next question, how to answer it. So from the first experiments we did, it seems to be very interesting. I would only use it in retargeting, actually, if people have already an idea of what your brand is like or what you're doing. Otherwise, it might be considered spammy. Although I know LinkedIn recommends it for upper funnel as well, for almost any funnel step, definitely. But I personally would just go in retargeting to not be considered spammy or not running in the risk of being seen like that. But it's not just one bet, as you have with a message or a message ad. It's just that you have more options. So the CTR seems to be higher, conversions up for more experiments, actually. But this might be something worth trying out, and I think it should be in all accounts available right now.
Yeah.
One thing that is not available right now.
It is still a beta.
It is still a beta, but it's. I think they've the rollout should be quite broad.
Yeah.
What's not rolled out that widely, I think, is this the topic of engagement retargeting, which is a very common thing. So if you're at home, if your home turf is Facebook, then you think, well, this hasn't been there by now. How can that be? So retarget on people who did a certain action on the platform.
Yeah.
And this, and as LinkedIn has done it, which is really, I think, is a game changer, is a retargeting on video viewers. So, so that you can address people who have seen a video that you've distributed, or people who started to fill out, who opened a lead form but didn't send it. So because, I don't know, they just had to get out of the bus or whatever. What do you think about it?
I think that would work because that's based on the LinkedIn data has on its own platform. It's not the data, the conversion tracking, for instance, that they use from your website. So this data is quite reliable. So if they know, okay, these people watch the video for 25%, send them a new campaign, use them for the retargeting. I don't know if I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if it's possible to target on people that watch the video for 25%, 50%, 75%.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is, and you, up to 97%. So 75 is then, and then 97% of the video. So and you can accumulate on several videos. So build audience from several campaigns.
Yeah. So you can say, "Hey, hi, I'm back again. You already saw my other video." Yeah, it sounds great. Yeah.
So this is probably the first time, at least from our perspective, if this is in your account, it might be worth really trying out. If you have good video content, trying in the first step, like a video funnel, sending out a video campaign, because they're compared to others ridiculously cheap.
True.
And then going on a retargeting, so to use the video viewers, the videos as a qualification so that people know what your service is, that they want your service, so that you lift up the desire.
What I really like might be great. What I really like is the thing that you mentioned, people that opened up the lead form but didn't fill out the data. That's a really nice audience that I want to have. Yeah.
Yeah, you will. It's
thank
but
you.
But it's the rollout is obviously just for some clients right now.
Yeah.
But I think within the next few months, I would expect it everywhere, and would love to have it in some accounts where we don't have it. So, yeah,
I will have a look at it.
Great. Yeah, well, thank you so much. I think we had a good overview of some techniques of how to start the campaigns and really how to avoid some mistakes and how to get the cost down on it. And really just to repeat it, get your measurement right.
Yeah. Measure on a micro level, really. That's what it should be about.
So thank you so much for being here on the podcast. Thank you so much for being at AdsCamp and spreading the knowledge. Great that you've been here. Thank you so much.
When will be the live meeting? When is that scheduled?
Actually, it's we will announce the date as soon as we're really sure we can do it at that date. So as things are developing right now, we are expecting it in the next few weeks to announce the date, but hopefully in autumn. Hopefully, but really, we don't want to postpone it and then another time.
I understand.
As soon as we announce it, people should be sure about it.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
It's only a 2-hour drive from where I live, so I'm happy to come over.
Yeah, sure, you have to. And just the last thing for all people out there. So if you haven't been at AdsCamp, and you think, well, it might be interesting to be there next year, go on adscamp.de or adscamp.com and fill in our very short form, and then you'll get an information as soon as we get the very, very cheap early nerd tickets out there. And you don't need to buy it, but at least you know when they're out there. Okay. Thank you very much, Jan Willem. Thank you.
Thank you. And
bye.
Bye.